China spent the last generation absorbing foreign investment and foreign technology. Now it's China's turn to send money and technology abroad.
China is not just exporting cheap consumer goods, it's also exporting infrastructure to strategic locations.
The Chinese are building high-speed rail links in Turkey, Venezuela, and Saudi Arabia. They've even expressed interest in bidding for projects in the U.S.
Not only that, the Chinese are building closer links with their neighbors. Someday, rail travelers might roll across Asia from China to Singapore in a single day. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports.
The plan is for trains to make their first stop outside China in the border town of Boten in northern Laos. The zone's vice governor, Visay Homsombat, is already counting the renminbi, or Chinese currency, pouring into the local economy.
Of course, if the people come here, they should sleep in the hotel and eat here, and we can sell the food and we can get the money from the hotel's rent and guest house rent or something like that.
Right now, Boten is a ghost town. Visay is hopeful that the trains will bring back the boom times, along with the gamblers and workers that drifted away when the zone's casinos shut down last year after a string of gambling-related murders. Most of the people, goods, and money in Boten come from north of the border in China. Most everything needed for the railway will, too. Humpeng Suralai is a Lao official in charge of investment promotion. He says Lao laws requiring the use of local labor will have to be bent a bit for the new railway.
We need a lot of skilled labor, and the Lao local people might not have the ability to do that. So I heard that at the beginning there might be some need of about 40,000 skilled labor to work on the construction sites.
Laos is one of Asia's poorest countries. Its current railway system stretches for about 2 miles, just enough to get from the capital Vientiane over the Mekong River and into Thailand. Humpeng says the Chinese-built railway can help the country overcome its isolation.
Laos has a vision of, as you know, transforming the landlocked country of Laos to the land-linked country.
As to when construction will start land-linking China and Laos, both countries say it will happen soon, but that no date has been set. Electricity to build and run the new railway will have to come both from China and from Vientiane. But it may eventually be supplied from hydropower dams on the nearby Nam Tha River. For now, the Nam Tha's coffee-colored waters flow as they always have towards the Mekong, with locals swimming and fishing in them. Much of the area is home to ethnic minority hill tribes, living in thatched huts and practicing slash-and-burn agriculture. In China, debate has been heating up about whether high-speed rail is really worth the massive investment, especially since the sacking in February of Railway Minister Liu Zhijun, who's now under investigation for corruption. But it's hard to find such debate or indications of public opinion in Laos or its state-run media. Farmer and ex-village chief Suvanpeng Vongsai will have to move to accommodate the new railway, but he says he trusts his government to help him. Everyone's happy about this project, he says, reading from prepared notes with a government official standing next to him. We support the government because this railway can make transportation to other provinces more convenient. In 1979, China launched a punitive invasion against Laos's main backer, Vietnam. Vietnam, Laos, and the Soviet Union all accused China of undermining solidarity among communist regimes in Indochina. China and Laos did not normalize ties until 1988. Ian Story, a fellow at the Institute of Southeast Asian Studies in Singapore, says that since then, China's investments in Laos, such as mines, rubber plantations, and hydropower dams, have helped China to catch up with Vietnam in Laos.
Vietnam still has the inside track politically. It's still got much more influence in Laos than China. But over time, that will probably change as China's economic role becomes more dominant.
92.6 km, 69
km. a Lao government computer animation shows a train gliding through pristine forests and futuristic train stations. The plan calls for trains to speed through Laos, Thailand, and Malaysia before arriving in Singapore. China is reportedly also planning branches of the network stretching into Vietnam, Cambodia, and Myanmar. A separate network may eventually extend through western China and Central Asia towards Europe. Laos should be the easiest stretch. China will put up 70% of the investment there. Other countries, such as Thailand, are likely to push for more control and technology transfer. Thailand's trade representative, Kiat Sitiamon, says China and Thailand are close to reaching a deal, and he's optimistic that China can connect the various segments of the railway.
China would do all they can in order to complete the line. If they already spent so much money building the railway all the way from the south to Laos, clinched a deal with Laos already, it will be just shameful not to be able to complete all the way to Singapore.
China is not the only one to dream of an Iron Silk Road crisscrossing the Eurasian landmass. The United Nations conceived of a Trans-Asia railway network as early as the 1960s. Pierre Chartier is a Bangkok-based transport expert with the United Nations Economic and Social Commission for Asia and the Pacific, or ESCAP. He explains that plans for the Trans-Asia Railway lay dormant until the 1990s, when the Cold War ended and China's market reforms sped up.
All this suddenly created a huge boom in international trade. And then the countries and ASCAP decided that it was time to equip the region with a transport framework able to accommodate this new international trade.
But experts are far from certain about whether or when China can actually bring its ambitious plans to fruition. Xie Weida is a railway expert at Shanghai's Tongji University.
This is hard to say. I could perhaps talk about it from a technical standpoint, but in my opinion, whether the railway is built or not depends on other factors. One is political, another is economic, and there might even be some military factors involved.
Economically, China's vision for the rail network is one of regional integration. At present, China does more trade with the West than it does with its own neighbors. Strategically, China is looking for a continental backdoor in case of any maritime blockade. It will be a great test of China's diplomacy to get all its neighbors to agree to its terms, so that one day all railroads will lead to Beijing. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Bangkok.